is Daf Tzadi Gimel. So the Gemara is now in the middle of a discussion about Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, whether we say Holchen Achar Harov when it comes to Mamun. So Rav says we do say Holchen B'Mamun Achar Harov, and Shmuel says we don't say Holchen B'Mamun Achar Harov. We only say Rov with regards to Isurim, according to Shmuel, but again, Rav says even B'Mamona. So the Gemara, two lines down in Tzadi Gimel, says Tashma. Shur shenagach es hapara v'nimta ubra b'tzeda. You agores a cow and kills the cow, and then there's a calf that just the cow just given birth to this calf, and the calf is dead on the side as well. So v'eni yodea, eni yodua im ad shelo nagcha yalda o im shenagcha yalda. They don't know if before the goring took place, the calf was born and the ox gored both of them. So the Rashbam explained referring to a shortam. Shortam only pays chati nezek. So we'll see in just a second. So a half a nezek for the para, but we're not sure if it also killed the vlad, the ubar, in which case he has to pay half a nezek on the ubar as well. Or maybe, okay, im mishanakha, only after the ox gored the cow, yalda then gave birth to the calf afterwards, and the calf died. So the Gemara says, how do you paskin? So Mishalim Chati Nezek Lepara. So we know that the shur gored the cow, so you pay half a nezek of the dead cow, but only revia levlad. You only pay a quarter of the value of the calf, because if we know that you pay the full, rather, if you know the shur gored the ubar, you pay chati nezek. But since it's a safek, we don't know if the shur did kill the calf or didn't kill the calf, so you only pay half of what you're supposed to pay, which of course is going to be a quarter, a revia of the vlat. So now the Gemara says, what's the relevance here to hochem b'mamun acharov? So the Gemara says, v'amai, why is this the case? Lema, maybe we should say, halach acharov paros, we should go after most cows. And the lach is rov paros misabros v'yoldos. And most cows, when they give birth to a live calf. And v'ha v'adai machmas negicha hepila. So the fact that the calf is dead must be that it was gored, that it was killed, that the ox caused the miscarriage and caused the calf to die. And it wasn't because it just died, it just died on its own, but rather it was because of the goring of the ox is what killed the calf. So we say from here, it must be that we don't say rov, because had we said rov again, rov, we say rov calves live. This one didn't live, so it must be he should be chayv the full net, chatzi nezek, so we're not saying that. And the Gemara says, no, not true. Hasam mishum de mesaf kalan, there by the case of the ubar, the vlad, the calf, we're unclear, because de'ikla meimar, there's room to say mikama asa umibiususa hipila. Maybe the shur is coming, attacking the cow head on. The cow saw it and got scared. Maybe Usa got scared. Hepila caused a miscarriage. In which case, the owner of the shur is not responsible. Even though the shur caused the cow to get scared, that's grumma. So if someone scares a cow and it gives birth because of that and the calf dies, you're not chayv to pay anything. It's only grumma benizikin, which is also to do, but there's no payment. Or perhaps there's also room to say, the Gemara explains, maybe the shur came from behind the cow. The cow didn't see it, so it was never scared. Just suddenly got blowed from behind, a big hit from the shur from behind. Asa uminach nagchan gored it, and the pila, and that caused the calf to be miscarried, and there was a direct damage, a direct hit. So that's the case. Maybe then the bal hashur should be chayv. So there's a safek. So therefore, mamon hamuta basafik, v'chol mamon hamuta basafik chokim. That's the reason why you only play a revia. We're saying, of course, the animal, of course, the shur is responsible for killing the calf. We just don't know why it is. Is it because it got scared, the cow, in which case it's grum and putter, or because it was a direct hit, in which case the bal hashur would be chayv? That's the safik whereby we say again, chol mamon hamuta basafik chokim. Okay. Gemara now says, Lema ketanai. Maybe this whole discussion is really a machlokas tanai. What's a machlokas tanai? Shur shahaya roe v'nimtza shur harag b'tzeda. You see an ox that's grazing through the field, and next to the ox is a dead shur. Afa pisha zem menugach v'zem muad. Even though you see that the shur, the dead ox on the ground, is gored all over the body, there's blood and there's whatever other goring marks there might be. And the one that's standing, busy grazing nicely in the field, is known to be a shur muad. That's a clear circumstantial evidence that is this shore that's alive killed the shore that's dead, but you didn't see the actual goring. Or you have Zeb Menushach, Zeb Mur Lishach, or the one that's dead has bite marks all over, and the shore that's alive walking around is known to be a biting shore. Ain Omen, we don't say Viadua. We don't say with certainty, Shezeh Nagcha Vezeh Nashcha. We don't say that the shore that's walking around was the Vadai bit and killed it, the Vadai gored the shore that's dead. We don't say that. We don't use circumstantial evidence. Rabbi Acha Amar, Gamal Ha'uchar, Bein HaGamalim, V'nimsa Gamal Harug, B'tzido, B'yadua Shezeh Harug. Rabbi Acha says a camel, that's ha'uchar, which is a discussion that we show on what ha'uchar means, but a camel that's standing among other camels, and there's a dead camel on the floor, we know for sure that that camel ha'mu'uchar is the one that killed the dead animal. So what does mu'uchar mean? So look at Rashbam here. Rashbam says, it's around halfway down the wide lines. Towards the end of the line it says, gamal ha'uchar, osik batashmish revia. This Gamal was involved with Tashmish. The Armina, the Gemara, and B'chorus tells us, Lagave Tashmish, Gamal, Acher, Keneged, Acher, fine. And then look at the next line in Rashbam, B'yadua Shezeh Hargo. We know for sure that that animal, Gamal, that was Ha'uchar, which is a reference to Tashmish, Vadai killed the Gamal that's on the floor. Why? D'muchsaku, it's a Chazaka, B'shas Revia Lahakos, that during Revia, this camel is very wild, and it hits and it kicks. V'koshke, and so that's why the animal that got killed is killed by the one that's Osek in Tashmish. The Koshkin, and certainly Rashbam says, Beshur Hamuad, Ligach, Shenagach, Kvar Shalosh Pamim. And certainly when there's a Shur Muad, a known goring ox that had violated this three times, certainly that's more wild than a Gamal. So we're teaching us, Rebusa Naket, Gamal, Uchar, Afapisha, Me'olam, Lo Nagach, V'Nashach. So we're saying from here that Rabbi Acha does rely on circumstantial evidence. And that even though no one ever saw the Gamal Uchar kill the dead Gamal, we know that since it was Osek and Tashmish, and the Gamal is very wild, and certainly a Shur Muad, which is very wild, that's enough for us to assume that that Shur killed the dead Shur. As opposed to the Tanakhama, the Chachamim, hold that no, we don't trust circumstantial evidence. You have to actually have Edus that witnessed the Goring. So that's the Machlokas in the Gemara, the Machlokas tonight. So now the Gemara wants to say Svarua. Savruah, as we've said many times, Savruah is always an initial attempt as an explanation, but it almost always gets rejected in the end of the day. There are a few exceptions. One of the exceptions is the first parak of Baba Basra, that Savruah actually is held l'maskana. But this Savruah will be rejected. So Gemara says, Savruah, the initial suggestion is as follows. That deruba v'chazaka kihadadu ninu. That the Gemara is equating the halachas of Rov and the halachas of Chazaka. Remember, we're trying to figure out between Rav and Shmuel of the Lachas of Rov. This discussion now of the Shor and the Gamal is a discussion of a Chazaka. That a Shor Muad is a Chazaka to gore. A Gamal is a Chazaka to kill. That's a Chazaka, but we're trying to bring a riot to Rov. So at this stage, the Gemara is equating Svarua again, the Ruba of a Chazaka, Kedadu Ninu, they're equal. So Lema, now the Gemara is going to plug everything in. Lema Rav Damar Kriviacha. Rav of the Amoraim, who holds B'mamun Holchan Acha Rov, he holds like Rabbi Acha that the Chazaka, that a Gamal Ha'uchar kills. That's the equation of Chazaka to Rov. And Shmuel, who holds Ein Holchan B'mamun Acha Rov, so Damar Kitanakama, he holds like the Tanakama, we don't trust a Chazaka. So that's what the Gemara's initial attempt is. So the Gemara says no. Amr Lecha Rav, Rav says, Ana de Amri Afilu Tanakama, I hold even like the Tanakama. Ad kan lo kamar Tanakama Hasam. The Tanakama only holds by the shore that's has a dead shore next to it, that we don't say, that we can't assume it. You don't go basar umdina, you don't follow the circumstantial evidence. Only there, de lo azlinam basar chazaka. We don't rely on chazakas, chazakas are weak. Aval basar ruba azlinam. Rav holds that a rove is greater than the chazaka. We had the sugyas in the second parak of Baba Basra here, that Ruba Adif Mi Chazaka. So although Chazakas we don't rely on, that's why the case of the Shur Sheyaroa V'nimsa Shur Harag and Betido, we don't assume that their live Shur killed it. But when it comes to Rov, then we do follow the Rov, B'mamon Holchan Acha Rov. That's Rav Shita. And Shmuel says differently. Shmuel says, Amar Lecha Ana Damri Afilu L'Rabbi Acha. Shmuel holds that I even work within the opinion of Rabbi Acha, that Tana. Because ad kan lo kama Rabbi Acha hasim. Rabbi Acha only says by the case of the gamal that the gamal is chayiv, even though there's no real edim, it's just circumstantial evidence. He only says there the azlina and basa chazaka the higufa muchzak. When there's a chazaka that's really intrinsic to the gamal, a gamal is a chazaka that's here in front of us. Aval basa ruba lo azim. We don't call basa ruba. So what's the difference? So look how the Rashbam explains the chilik within Rabbi Acha. Rashbam says, if you go around, I don't know, 15 lines up, it says, "Dehu gufa muchzak," that the gamal is muchzak. Dechaven dehu omad b'tzido azin basa umda. It's in front of us. You see the live gamal that's being very wild, and you see the dead gamal right next to us. As opposed to aval basa ruba delesa kaman lo azin. A rove that's not in front of us. Rove is statistics. There's no statistics in front of us. It's just a gathering of information, of data that is not in front of us. So you can't take an external factor and plug it into the case. So that's why we ignore the rove. But a chazaka that's standing in front of us, we have a wild camel, a wild ox, that's mamish in front of us, that's isa kaman. In this situation, even Shmuel would agree, you would follow the chazaka. That's the way the Gemara explained, that this discussion of the shor and gamal is very different than the discussion of the rove with respect to mamon. Okay, now this is a very big machlokas rishonim, a very important halacha lemaisa. How do you paskin? How do you paskin with regards to a circumstantial evidence? We know when it comes to dinei nefashos, it's not good enough. The Gemara Sanhedrin says, I forget who the different parties were, but when they're once chasing someone down into an alleyway, and a Tana and some other guy, there was a dead guy on the floor, and the other guy was holding a knife with blood dripping out, and there's a dead person on the floor, and the Tana says, it's either me or you killed him. And I know it wasn't me. But at the same time, I've got no edim that could prove you wrong. I can't take you to court because when it comes to dinei nefashos, you need edus. Circumstantial evidence is not sufficient. But what about dinei mamonos? So this is machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Acha. How do you paskin? So some paskin like the Tanakama, because we always say yachad v'rabim halacha k'rabim. But apparently the Rush seems to imply in one of his tshuvos that we paskin like Rabbi Acha, that we do rely on circumstantial evidence in the world of dinei mamonos. And the Bach says it can't be true. The Bach and Taz both say that the Rush only says that when it's so clear, when the circumstantial evidence is so, so clear, that's when he would allow for it. But regular circumstantial evidence, it's hard to know how far, what in the spectrum, what's considered so muchach and what's not muchach, but there are different levels. The Rush doesn't say it in every case, only if it's really, really so clear that's the case, would you rely on circumstantial evidence with regards to dinei mamonos. Okay, let's go weiter. Gemara now says the last few lines on the Amud Aleph here, Tashma. Hamocher peros lechaver, a person sells fruit to his friend. Vizaron, and the individual goes ahead and plants them. Velo tamchu, doesn't grow. This is our Mishnah from yesterday. And Bafilu zera pishan, even if he buys flax, eino chayiv bachriusan. The seller, the mocher, is not chayiv to pay. Why? What does that mean? Ma yafilu lav, is it not a case? Afilu zera pishan, Diruba Lizriazvane, where most people buy it in order to grow. Vafilu hachilaz dinam basaruba. I bought flax seeds. I don't need flax seeds. Who eats flax seeds? Some people eat flax seeds. They're very healthy, supposedly. But most people buy flax seeds in order to grow things. So I buy flax seeds. I try growing it. Nothing grows. And the Gemara says that you, as the mocher, are not required to pay me back for it. So why is that the case? It's not fair. So because rove people buy it to grow, but still, nonetheless, we don't care based on Rove. It's a support for Shmuel. We don't care about Rove when it comes to Mammon at all. And since there's some minority that buy it to eat, and therefore, it would not, the mocher is not responsible. The mocher could claim, I sold it to you to eat. Ah, only 2% of the world do that. I don't care. We don't go bus a Rove when it comes to Dinei Mamonos. So the Gemara says, you know what? The truth is, it's really a Tanayi. It's really a Machlokas Tanayim, whether bus a Rove or lo bus a Rove with regards to Mammon. This Ani, the Brisa tells us, Hamocher peros lechavero. A guy sells fruit to his friend, Vizaron, and the guy plants the fruit, Velo tzamchu, nothing grows. Zerenu gina, a guy buys some garden seeds for some flowers, Sheinechon, that nobody eats in the world. In these cases, he's chayiv b'achriyuson, but Zerapishon ain't a chayiv b'achriyuson. So it depends what you sold. If I sold the guy things that only are grown, nobody eats flowers, so then it doesn't grow. Vadai, the mocher, has to pay me back. But if you sold me something that sometimes people grow, so other people use it to eat, so then you try growing it, I'm not responsible because I could claim that I sold it to you to be eaten. That's the Tanakama, that we don't go based on the rove. That's opinion one, Tanakama. Rabbi Yossi says, no. No, Saint Lo, Dmei Zera. You have to pay back, because he holds that you go based on Rove. And since most people buy Pishtan in order to grow Pishtan, and it didn't grow, you do go Basa Rove, and the Mocha is responsible. So Tanakhama says he's not responsible, we don't go based on Rove. And Rabbi Yossi says, you do go based on Rove. Comes Amrulo, comes a third opinion, they say here. The Chacham come along and say, Harbe lo chenoso lidvar macher. Many, many other people buy it for other reasons. So what's going on? And look at Rashbam. Rashbam says, Amrulo, eino chai bachrison. No, if you sell Pishtan and the Pishtan doesn't grow, the mocher doesn't have to pay it back. Why? Shaharbe b'nei adam lochen lidvar macherim lemaichel refuah. Many people still buy flaxseed, whether it's for medical reasons or just for eating it. One farmer is going to buy a huge batch of pishon. He's one guy, but he's going to buy a lot of it to plant in his farm. Connected that one guy, you're going to have yeshmer. There's 100 people, yeshmer ben adam, shekonen miyas se'achas lemaichel refuah. They're going to buy one small amount for refuah, for eating. So more buyers are buying it to eat, but in terms of the actual volume of what the pishon is being used, most pishon is being used for farming, but that's one person is using for a lot of farming. So it's going based on the people who are buying, so most purchasers are buying it for eating, but it's going based on the zera pishon, so most of the cheftza is being used to plant as opposed to being eaten. So that's what the Amrulo say. So now we have three opinions here. Tanakhama says that you're not responsible, the mocher. I don't care that rove people eat it, rove people plant it. Some people eat it. Rabbi Yossi says that no, you go based on rove. And since most people grow the pishtan, you are responsible to pay. And the Tanakhama say back that since other many people buy it for the purpose of even eating it, it also, he would not have to pay back. So Gemara wants to know now, Ma Tanan, which of the three opinions we just stated is a machlokas tanayim about rove, we follow rove by mammon or not rove? Elaim, if you say it's the last two, Rabbi Yossi and the Amrulo, can't be. Because Tervayu, both of them hold basa ruba azli. Both Rabbi Yossi holds and the Amrulo hold, you go based on the rove. They're just a machlokas, how do you look at the rove? Mar azil basa ruba de inshi. That according to Rabbi Yossi, you go based on which way is this? That rove? No, all the way around. The rove inchi versus mar azu baser ruba dezria. Do you go based on the people buying it? Most people buying it are buying it to eat. So even though 100 of us are going to buy a small package, and one farmer is going to buy huge amounts, most people are buying it to eat. So therefore, when the mocher sells it, and you try planting it, says, "I didn't care what you did. Most people buy it to eat. I didn't have to tell you that it's not going to grow." But if you go based on the busser, the zera, well, most flax, if you take account, looking at the buyers, there's going to be one farmer who's going to buy thousands of packages of zera, pishon, and 1,000 people will buy only one package. Most zera pishon is being used to grow. In which case, busser rove, people grow it, in which case the mocher is responsible to pay back. So they both hold on rove, they're just arguing which perspective you look at. So where do you find there's a machlokas tanaim in this brisa, whether you follow rove by mammon or not? The Gemara says, Ella must be itanakam Rabbi Yossi, itanakam v'amrulo. So everybody agrees that Tanakama holds that you don't go based on rove. As long as there's one small miyat that eats the pishon, so the mocher's off the hook. So it's either Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi, the second opinion, or itanakama and the amrulo, the last opinion, that's a machlokas whether you follow rove or you don't follow the rove.
The only thing a little strange about this brace is that it's talking, the Tanakhama says Mokar Peros says that your Chayev Achrusan, which was like the opposite logic in Armishna, we said Mokar Peros, you're not Chayev, and we said Afilu, Mokar Peros, and then Afilu Pishtan, you're not Chayev. Even though Pishtan, there's more of a tzad that you would be Chayev, nevertheless, you aren't. Here, it's the opposite. He's saying you're Chayev by Mokar Peros, where our mission implies Mocha Peros, people ate.
I think the Tanakhama says you're putter in all the cases, no?
Ms. Bryson?
I thought saying. I think the way it's read, Mocha Peros, and then it's qualifying. Which type of Peros is it? Is it Peros that's Zarune Gina, or is it Zarapishtan? think that's how you read it. I don't think it's just stam peros. Okay. Fine, let's go back here now. The Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan. So, ma nosein, ma u nosein lo. So, when you end up having a refund for these the zera, so zerine gina, what does the mocha have to pay back? So, you took the seeds, you know, you spent a lot of effort and time planting them, and plowing it, and watering it, and nothing grows. So, the Gemara says, demei zera v'lohotza. You need to pay just for the, you know, whatever amount. But in terms of the sending back the packages, sending back the refund, that you have to take the packaging. You have to take those costs. And all the effort you put in and putting it together and all that stuff, and it turned out it was broken, that's not any effort I'm paying. All you have to pay is the actual value of the zera. V'yeshomim, others say, afotza. No, even all the effort. Imagine you bought this thing, you put it together, it comes out, there's one piece, and the last piece is broken. And now you put 5 hours building something, they're not going to pay you for the 5 hours you spent yourself or you paid some other guy to do for it to be broken. So according to the Tanna Kamma, you just paid Demei Zera, but according to the Yesh Omrim, even the Hotsa, you pay as well. So Mani Yesh Omrim, who the Yesh Omrim? So Amar Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda said, the Yesh Omrim is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So before we get into who Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is, look at the interesting Tosas on top here. Tosas writes, Mani Yesh Omrim, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, even though the Gemara tells us in Horyos, whenever you see the word Yeshomim or that term, it's referring to Rabbi Nasan. Kedamar Basof Horyos, Dasikal Hid Rabbi Nasan. Yeshomim Hacha, this is an exception, is a Kabbalah Hayasab Yadan, the High Yeshomim Rashbag. We had a certain Masorah that Yeshomim that appears in Babasa, Daf Tzadi Gimel Mabez, is an exception, it's really referring to Rabbi Shimon Ben Gamliel. We have other examples as well. He says, Vechain Per Cheskas Abatim, earlier, Lam Dvav, Gavinir, the Kamar Mani Yeshomim, the Gemara says Rabbi Abba, and also another example, Baba Kama, where the Yeshomim there is Rabbi Nasan. Wait a second, isn't that what we said it is? Rabbi Nasan, who it is. Okay. But Rabbi Nasan, Stam Yeshomim is Rabbi Nasan, unless the Gemara tells us otherwise.
Yeshomim and Rabbi Nasan are arguing with each other.
They're arguing with each other. So there are a few examples, a few exceptions where the Yeshomim is not Rabbi Nasan. Okay. Okay, so what's interesting here, there's the discussion in the Rambam. The Rambam says, let's say, in Hilchas Zechiyah Matana, let's say an Aris person gets engaged and he prepares a whole feast, a whole engagement party. And then last second, the Arusa backs out. After everything's been prepared, all the meal, wedding, even worse, all the money he put in, she backs out. So is she responsible now to pay for all that damage, the Hotzah, that she made be paid? So the Rambam Paskin is that, yes, she has to pay for everything, all the money that he put out, all that Hotzah. So comes along the Ravid. The Ravid says, no, you can't say that at all, because this is very different. It's similar to the case of Zeruna Gina. He brings our case here, where we say that he only pays back for the Demei Zera, but you don't have to pay for any of the Hotzahs, all the other costs you don't have to pay. So it's what the Ravid says, therefore, if she backs out, she would not have to pay for all the costs that he laid out. So the question is, how does the Rambam explain this? What's Pshat in the Rambam? So Rambam also agrees when it comes to this seemingly passing like the Tanna Kamma that you only pay Demei Zera, you don't pay Hotzah.
What's Demei Zera here?
It's just the value of the seed. In the case of the... So I'm not sure if there would be a Demei Zera. She didn't give anything. There's no meaning you pay nothing. Only it's all Hotzah. So how come the Rambam says by the case of Zerune Gina, you don't pay Hotzah, by the case of the Sudas Erisin, you do pay Hotzah? What's the difference? So the Magen Mishnah suggests the following. He says that the only time that you there's a difference between when you're putting money in to make a profit versus not. So he says when you're trying to make a profit, so then you buy Zerune Gina to make a profit, so then you don't get the Hotzah. But when there's an investment put in not to make a profit, just to stop an investment, and then there's a loss of money, so then the people responsible would have to pay all Hotzahs. To which the Taz and the Bach say, where exactly do you get such a chilek? What's the basis of such a chilek of you trying to make a revenue, a profit, or not make a profit? So the Taz and Bach both give different explanations what the difference is, why the Rambam says there is, you have to pay Hotzah for the broken engagement, but you don't pay Hotzah for the Zeruna Gina, and that's the following. There are a number of different suggestions, but I'll just mention the Bach and the Taz, and we'll move on. The Bach says as follows. He says, the whole discussion of paying Zeruna Gina is a whole discussion of a knas, if there's a penalty. That Rashbag, who is the Yesh Omrim, say we penalize him, making him pay even the Hotzah. And the Tanna Kamma says we don't penalize him by the Hotzah. So that's the whole discussion with regards to Zeruna Gina. But when it comes to the again, that's a whole discussion of grama, of a knas on a grama, of an indirect damage. But when it comes to the case of the Arison, so this Arison, that's not grama, that's garmi. That's a more direct damage. By her causing damage to her, that's more direct, and you wouldn't even need to come on to a knas at all. It's a question of more direct damage. That's what the Bach says, and the Taz says something similar there. But the case of the Arison is a more of direct damage as opposed to Zeru Negina. The Mocher didn't try to damage you. He didn't know. He sold you a product. He didn't know. It didn't have any ability to grow. So therefore, it's an issue of grama versus not. Okay. So anyways, Gemara wants to know, Hey, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. We right now said that Rabban Shimon Gamliel is the author of the Yesh Omrim. He's the one behind the Yesh Omrim that says you even pay the Hotzah. So where do we find such a position of Rabban Shimon Gamliel that holds that you have to pay even the Hotzah? So Elaim, if you're going to say it's Rabban Shimon Gamliel of our Masnitzin that we've been learning about, so that can't be the case, because the Tanah and the Mishnah tells us, HaMocher Peros L'Chaveiro V'Zaron V'Lo Tzamchu. The guy sells fruit and it doesn't grow. And V'Afilu Zerapishon, even if it's flaxseed, Eino Chai V'Achrius, and you're not Chai to pay. So if you think that Rashbag authored this Tanakama, remember the Tanakama? The Mishnah had that opinion. And then we didn't have any author there. The end of that Mishnah said, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, when it comes to Zeru Negina, where nobody eats flower seeds, so then the Mocher is Chai to pay. So if we're going to suggest that the Tanakama is Rashbag, we're going to suggest that. Well, you can't suggest that because Eim Seifa, because the Seifa is Rashbag. The Omer Zeirune Gina She'ena Nechlam Chai B'Achriuson. So the Gemara says, no, Tanakama Nachi Nami Hachi Kamar. The Tanakama also holds this way. The way you read the Mishnah is as follows. Zera Pishtan, if you grow flax, who? The Eino Chai B'Achriuson. That's when you're not Chayiv. The Tanakam implies, but ha, if you grow Zerunegina, garden seeds, which are meant to only for flowers, not to be eaten, even the Tanakam will agree that Shenu Nechalin, they're not eaten, that you are Chayiv Bachriusun. So the Tanakama and now the Rashbag are saying the same exact thing. Tanakama implicitly say that if it's Zerunegina, you're Chayiv Bachriusun. If they don't grow, you're Chayiv to pay as the Mocher. And Rashbag explicitly says that if the Zerunegina don't grow, then the Mocher has to pay. So what's the difference between the Tanakama now and Rabban Shimon Gamliel? So Elalav Hotzah Ika Benayu. Is it not the difference is, isn't the difference not the following? That whether you pay not only for the Dimei Zera, but you also do you have to pay for the Hotzah as well, all the effort that the farmer did, putting in the plants, putting in the seeds. So that Mar Savar is Dimei Zera, Umar Savar Af Hotzah. That Tanakama holds, you only pay for the Dimei Zera, but you don't pay for the Hotzah. Comes along Rashbag and says, no, you're chayiv even to pay for the Hotzah. So that's where we find that Rashbag holds the Yesh Omrim that Af Hotzah. Gemara says, Mimai, how do you know that's the way to explain the Mishnah? Dilma, Ipcha. Maybe it's the other way around. Maybe Rashbag holds you don't pay for Otsah, and it's the Tanakama that holds you pay for Otsah. There is no indication within the Rabban Shimon Gamliel's opinion that you have to pay for Otsah. So Gemara says, Halokashia. Because Kol Tana Basra Nitzfuya Milsakasi. We have a klal. The later Tana is always coming to add on to the earlier Tana. So when one Tana makes a suggestion and another Tana comes along and argues, he's always being Mosif. He's always adding on. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel must be adding on that even the Hotzah. Mar says, so okay, that might be a very nice klal, but maybe the way the Mishnah should be read is maybe Dilma Kula Rashbagi. Maybe Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is the author of the entire Mishnah, and there's a Chasur Mechser, and there was something missing in the Mishnah. And the Mishnah now should be read as follows. V'hachi katani. HaMocher Peros L'Chaveiro V'Zaron. A guy sells fruit seeds to his friend, and he grows them, he plants them, rather, V'lo Tzamchu, they don't grow. Afil Zer Pishon, even if it's Zer Pishon, which most are used to be eaten, rather to be grown, Eina Chai B'Achriusun, you're not Chayiv to pay. That is, now the Gemara adds in, that's Divrei Rabban Shimon Gamliel. She Rabban Shimon Gamliel, oh, I'm skipping on the parentheses, Zerune Gina, Sheina Necham Chai B'Achriusun, in which this reading of the Mishnah has nothing to do at all with discussing Hotzah. So that cannot be the raya that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds that you have to pay Otsah. So where then do you find Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that he holds you have to pay for the Otsah? She has an interesting side point here. There's a discussion that's found in the Pischei Choshen. A person gives you a check and you take it to the bank and the check bounces. So now you have to pay a fee to the bank for trying to cash such a check. So he wants to, based on this discussion here, the Pischei Choshen wants to know, can you go ahead back to the guy who gave you the check and collect the penalty that you paid for the balanced check or not. And he says it has to do with whether hotza is included or not included. He goes back and forth. It's not such a clear raya, but he does use the sugya as part of the discussion, who's responsible to pay for the penalty of the balance check. Fine. So either way, anyway, we're still trying to figure out where would we find that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds that you have to pay back, the mocher has to even pay back for the hotza. So the Gemara says, Ella must be, Ella ha, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the Tanya, the following. The Tanya, the Baraita, tells us that Hamolich chitin litchon, a guy takes wheat to grind them, to make flour, v'lo losses on, and he didn't soak them. You're first supposed to soak the flour, the wheat rather, it makes it the grinding. It's a better product of some sort. I don't know how the process works. Vasa subin, but you didn't. He didn't do it. He did do the soaking part. Now it came out with subin, which we said was bran. It was a bad, bad flour. Oh, mursun. How do you define mursun?
Fine. One is bran, coarse bran. One is fine bran.
Uh huh. Okay. Oh, mursun kemach lenachtom. Or so. I think asa subin. He made them into subin. Or mursim kemach. He gave him very nice flour lenachtim. He gave very good flour to the baker. Va'afa, when he baked it, pasni polin. But the bread kind of fell apart. I guess it didn't come out. The product wasn't very good. It was very. It broke into pieces. Or you gave a behema latevach. You gave the behema to the shochet v'nivla, and he messed up on the shchita. All these cases, according to the Tanakama, you're responsible. By you messing up, there's a whole other discussion we've saw elsewhere, you are responsible to pay for the damage. So comes along Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Omer, no sein lo deme boshto, v'deme boshes orchav. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, you have to pay for the embarrassment to him. He invited all these guests over, says Rashbam, he had nothing to feed them. And certainly, on top of that, all the hotza, the money he paid, the costs and whatnot, you have to pay as well. So this is the opinion that we find, that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, you have to pay even for the hotza. Further, just to finish off the braisa, the Gemara says, V'chein haya Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, he would also say, Omer, minag gadol haya b'Yushalayim, there's a great minag that existed in Yushalayim, ha-moses suda l'chaveiro, a guy gives a meal over to his friend, v'kilkala, and he messed it up. I guess he gave food for him to prepare, and he messed it up. V'nosin lo demei boshov, demei boshes orchav. So you have to pay for the embarrassment that he himself received, and the embarrassment among all the different guests now who have nothing to eat. And old minagado, there's another great minag that existed in Yushalayim, mape prusa agave pesach, that they used to have a little cloth, a curtain, covering the entranceway to a house or perhaps to a restaurant. So what was the point for this? So kolzman shemape prusa, whenever the tablecloth was spread, the cloth was spread over, the curtain was over the door, orcha nichnasin. So they said, oh, that means the tables are open now. That's indication we're open. Flashlights, we're open. They would come in. And nistalka, if they remove the open, we're open sign, or the curtain, that would be hamap if it removed it. Then ain't orcha nichnasin. They would know that the store, the restaurant, the house isn't open for feeding. What's the reason for this? So just Rashbam explains here, Orchin Nichnasin Vitakana Tovahi Lekabal's Orchin. It's a very good thing for the Orchin. The guests can know which houses, as they're walking through a street, which house, which restaurants are open to take guests to feed them. Sheyadu Kisham Yochlu V'yelchu Sham Lochlu. They'll know who's open to feeding. There was a Takana that was made for the Orchin. Now the quote here from the Yushalmi says that's really a Takana for the Baal HaBayis. Yushalmi says the following, that a person should lo yichanes adam lesuda acha shekar var achlu gimel parpels. A person should not come late to a meal after they start giving out the hors d'oeuvres in the mains. A guy walks in later on, you shouldn't come in. Mipnei shebaal bayis yavish. The baal bayis is going to be embarrassed because he has no food left for you. He gave all the food away. So for you to come in and say, oh, where's my steak? It's too late. A person shouldn't walk in. So they quote Tshuvas back here that it's not a nice thing to walk in late to a bris, to a chasen, expecting a meal after they already presented the meal. So it sounds like the takana is really for the embarrassment of the baal bayis as opposed to a benefit for the orchim. Okay, we'll stop here and pick up tomorrow. Mitzvah Hashem. Everyone have a wonderful day.